On today's episode, we had a fun conversation about a brewery that's right in Shikshinny. And I learned what Five Mountain Brewing, where the root of that name came from. And yeah, a lot of fun stuff. I really like this episode. I think you guys are going to like it too. Let us know in the end. Leave us some comments. We love them. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Welcome to Getting to Know the 570,
brought to you by Conversion Works Media,
a show that hosts special guests from in and around Northeast PA, sharing their stories, knowledge, and experiences in their work and personal lives.
Because let's face it,
doing business with locals feels good, but giving business to someone you know feels even better.
And now here's your host,
Frank Sepko.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Getting to Know the 570. We have another brewery in the house, which, God, I love beer. I'm you know, for like the longest time, I've always been a fan of going to different breweries, trying different beers. Been on this diet for a little bit, so I'm bummed out because I haven't been drinking it. But, man, I'm looking forward to this episode. Today with us, we have Brent and Melissa Hum, who are the owners of Five Mountain Brewing from Shikshinny. And Brent is primarily the brewmaster, while Melissa very much so compliments from a business aspect. And they've got a really cool thing going on, and we're going to learn all about them today. Thanks, guys, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So prior to recording, I asked, I said, so... Is this, do you have a tasting room? Is it a restaurant? And I got some good feedback, restaurant, brew pub. So we'll dive into the history later, but just for now, I'm walking through your front doors. Tell me all about your place.
Yeah, when you come through the door, you'll see the bar there. We have the tasting room. We started as just a tasting room in the beginning, but we're in our new location. We have a tasting room and kitchen now.
Okay.
So you'll see the bar. There's tables to find a seat. I'll let you know right now, before you sit down, make sure you look up at the ceiling and look at our beer list, because it's only on one side of the beam.
Beer list is near the ceiling.
Yep. So we always have to tell everybody that, so I might as well tell you that right now.
Is this like an intentional thing or?
Well, it sort of just came about when we bought the building that we're in right now. We had to remove a central wall, and there's a huge beam that runs through.
Okay.
And it was kind of in a bad position to put anything, so we decided to just paint it.
As the menu.
Yeah, use it as the menu. So.
That's cool.
And then we have, you know, the seating area, but then you can go outside. Out back, we have a kind of a beer garden area. And then in the far back is the garage where the actual brewing takes place.
Oh, okay.
So we converted the garage into the brewery and the house into the tap room and the backyard into like a seating area.
Oh, very neat. So this used to be a home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Yep. Now, inside, people come to visit. Like, ideally, how many people can fit in there?
Depends on the event, actually.
Yeah.
Comfortably, for dinner, probably about 20, 25.
Okay.
But on comedy night, we pack 40, so.
All right. Oh, what do you do? Go from, like, a table setup to, like, row seating or something?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's cool.
And then in the summertime, we have the whole backyard, and we set up, and we've had shows back there where it's, you know, we have room for 100 people if we needed to.
Oh, cool.
It'd be tight in there, but
sure. But I mean, outdoors? Everybody's looking for places to go during the summer months. You know, who has outdoor seating? It seems to be a big Google search, if you will.
Yeah.
What do you guys have, like the lighted string lights and stuff?
Yep. Pretty much like every other brewery.
Yeah, but that's cool. That's what we love.
Yeah,
you do like a fire pit or something?
Yep. We have a fire pit.
Wait. Do you have a cornhole?
Of course. You got to have cornhole.
I have never been, and I'm already envisioning the whole place.
Yeah.
Tell me about the food, because that's something that I think a lot of people in particular love when they can find a brewery that's coupled with the food.
Yeah, well, we've moved around a lot in our life, and we've traveled a lot, and we like food. And
that's good.
Yeah, we like good food. And we have found that this area is a little bland. So we try to bring things that you don't get anyplace else.
All
so
right.
Our menu is really eclectic, and there's a lot of little special things. excuse me. One of our most favorite items is our Cuban sandwich. We make a pasta dish that's an upstate New York that's a little bit spicy, a little bit sweet.
Okay.
People like it.
Is that hot, cold?
Hot. That's a hot pasta dish.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Then we also kind of swing it over in the summer. We do a lot of Caribbean food. But we also have Southern shrimp and grits.
So do you have a chef or who's doing the cooking?
I do the cooking.
Oh, you do the cooking. Okay. What's the inspiration? Is it because of the traveling you did? So a little bit of everywhere you went?
Yeah, our menu is basically a collection of all of our favorite foods.
Okay.
That we just wanted to share with the community.
I love that. From a Caribbean standpoint, what are you making?
We do mojo pork and chicken, Cuban coleslaw.
Dominican. Is that kind of like a jerk tasting kind of?
A little bit.
More like a citrus garlic. Flavor.
Okay.
So it's a combination of oranges and limes.
Like a real fresh.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yep. Okay.
And then you roast it and it gets some of those sugars in the.
Yeah.
In the
caramelization.
Yeah, caramelization of that. And it's really good stuff.
And is that served like, is that a dish? Is that like a sandwich kind of?
So that pork is used on a Cuban sandwich.
Okay.
It's the pork from the Cuban sandwich, but we also serve it browned on a platter with rice and Dominican beans and Cuban coleslaw.
Love that.
It's just a mix of a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting excited because it's been a long winter, and that menu's coming back in probably 2 weeks. So.
Okay.
Looking
now, are you guys open year-round?
Yeah.
So during the winter months, do you have a different?
Like right now we have shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, chicken and biscuits, shrimp and grits, like the fill your soul, warm you up.
Love that. Love it. Now, is it officially shepherd's pie?
Cause I didn't make it with real shepherds.
Because what is it? Shepherd's pie is lamb, right?
Lamb, yeah. It's actually beef. Cottage pie.
Cottage pie. There's the word. Yeah.
Everybody knows shepherd's pie, and so it's easier than explaining that.
Yeah.
So,
the potatoes when you do the shepherd's pie, is it that nice sort of broiled top?
Yep.
Oh God, it's hard to find a good one. Like not a lot of places make that, and that's like a favorite.
Well, we usually add our beer to it, so that
not upset about that.
Yeah, usually our stout goes into it.
Love that.
So,
love that. What other kind of things do you make?
Sometimes we have we do Chicago style Italian sandwiches, Italian beef.
Love that. That's like the real juicy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Served with the
what's that called? Juice. The stuff that they put
au
on it. No, the pepper mix.
Oh, the Gardenaria.
Gardenaria, there it is. Yeah, that's something that I don't like. I see it. I always forget what it's called.
Yeah,
but it's just basically pickled peppers, right?
It's pickled. Well, so there's the pickled yellow peppers, but then there's pickled. Cauliflower, carrots.
Yes. And
that's what the Gardenaria is.
And is that on it?
Yep. Well, it comes on the side, but yeah, comes with it.
Outstanding.
Yep.
Yeah, and we make a crab rangoon dip, a spinach dip, and one of our claims to fame is we actually bake our own bread from our spent grains. We call it brewery bread. And so because at certain times of the year we do breakfast, and we make the breakfast sandwiches on that homemade bread, and then to not waste the ends of the bread, we break it into little bits, and then that's what you dip your spinach dip or cheese. And
I love it. Does it really? Does the bread taste have that like beer bread taste?
It has a really like a. You always have a little bit of residual sugar, so you have some of that malted grain flavor that goes into it, and it's hearty, and it's a really good bread.
Oh, I love that. Now, is that something that you're able to make sandwiches with, potentially?
It works really well for breakfast sandwiches. It works really well as a side with, like, we do a beef barley soup. You can dip it in your soup and squish it around. Theoretically, we can make sandwiches, but we're here to brew and we got a lot of other stuff to do.
Yeah, no, I got it.
We can't bake all day.
No doubt. Baking stuff, right? Yeah. And now does that type of bread, is that a little bit more timely or is that like a quick bread?
So
you have to let it rise. Yeah. A little bit. Okay. Yeah. That can be challenging.
Total, it takes probably 6 hours to do a batch.
Yeah. What do they say? Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. those are 6 hours that we don't have.
Yeah.
Which is
why we don't sell it by the loaf. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Everyone asks. The answer is I can't bake all day.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was just having this conversation. We had another brewery in here not too long ago, and we were chatting with them, and I said, boy, I said, I would love to see a brewery either partner up with like a bakery or do something because there's a beer bread to be had.
It's right? Really good.
And we've got it.
Man, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I always said if I could figure out how to get a brewery to back the making of a brioche bun, right? Do like a beer brioche bun. That way you can put a really good beer cheese on a burger, and now you got this sort of beer, you know, and
beer
braised beef on with beer cheese on a beer brioche.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Feed the grain to the cow and bring it back in. Now you got beer in the meat.
Oh man, incredible. So it sounds like you're pretty well rounded in the food department. Is there an overarching favorite amongst the crowd that comes?
Probably the Cuban sandwich.
The Cuban sandwich?
Yeah, that was our first menu item when we were at our previous location. It was like it was actually right during COVID. Everything was shut down, but we got to the point where we could sell food, and so we were doing that to try to scrape together some income there, and turned out
to be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, it was. When we first started doing it, I mean, we were baking all the bread because we couldn't find bread like that.
Yeah,
we did since find a source, but at the time it was very time intensive, but we didn't have anything else to do, so
that's
cool.
You had to
pre-order.
We did it
on Fridays only. You had to pre-order, and we capped it at 15 sandwiches. First 15 to get their order and got their sandwich, and we sold 15 every Friday.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys doing outside the dips? Are you doing any other like finger foods? Like do you have like a lineup of like apps?
Yeah,
mozzarella pretzels. Sticks and pretzels.
Oh, okay. Here, gotcha.
Typical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know that sometimes, when I've been with friends, we've gone to breweries, sometimes like, I'm not really, maybe today I don't really want the whole meal, but we could just cover the table with a whole bunch of different apps, and then everybody's picking and drinking and just makes for a good time.
Yeah.
It's like a party.
Yep.
Do you have like some breweries you walk in and there's like an overarching theme? Like a look, a feel. Did you guys have something in mind when you built this out?
Not any like particular theme. We have kind of a rustic look.
We're going for that community spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we refuse to put TVs on the wall. I want my customers to talk to each other.
Yeah.
I love that. That's cool.
We spent 2 hours the other night in a heated debate. The whole bar was involved. Everyone in there was in on it. Whether you would rather fight one angry horse or 120 angry ducks. There were some strong opinions.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. Boy.
Well, I'm interested to hear what your opinions are.
Horse all day.
One angry horse or 100 angry ducks.
120 angry ducks.
Oh, well, yeah, because that makes a huge difference there. Yeah. 100, that extra 20 will really do it.
Well, those are the ones that come from aerial assault.
Okay.
Yep.
Brent, what do you go with?
Well, I was out in the brewery, so I wasn't actually involved with it all. But
not involved in the debate?
It depends on if it's male or female ducks.
Oh, all right.
Because anatomically, male ducks are... There's a whole new thing you have to think about there.
I gotcha.
So,
all right. Well,
if you know ducks, then you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I would have thought females would have been the other why, because aren't they? They're so naturally like protective. But I guess it's only around young.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going where you're going.
I don't think I want to go too far into that. It'll change the direction of this podcast too much. So.
All right. Well, I'm curious, without us saying anything, if any listeners are hearing this and they know exactly what that means without us saying it in detail. Go ahead and comment if you dare. If you dare.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, yeah,
we try to foster an environment where you meet new people. I think the best compliment I've ever received was someone who came in. His wife was pregnant, so he was coming in after work once in a while by himself just to grab a quick beer on his way home. And he said one day, you know, I love coming here because I guess at the end of the day I am a guy at a bar by myself, but I never feel like that. Feel like I swung by my friend's house and they had other friends over that I just haven't met yet. And yeah, that like was exactly cheers, what we like were a more going homey. For.
Yeah. Yeah, like a more homey cheers aspect.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
We're, you know, that concept of the third space where you have some community meeting place, that's where we try to fit into that.
Cool.
And we host trivia nights and we have live comedians every month. We do bands. Next week's Dungeons and Dragons night. So we have a lot of things to get people talking to each other.
That's neat. Do you have like little other games at the tables for like when groups come in?
Yeah, we have a section where we pile up some games. So
this is a brewery. I mean, for sure now. You're confirmed when you have games.
Yeah.
Connect Four or a little. it's authentic. Talk to me about the beer. I guess the most important thing here.
So we have we try to keep 8 on tap at all times. So it's kind of just a collection of different. We have the ones that we started with, and then sometimes researching or finding a different style, we'll try that, brew something new, and just do different things with the beer.
Yeah, like the food, we try to have something for everyone.
Yeah, so when we started, we had, the 5 different ones we picked ran from like a cream ale all the way to a stout and then, a mixture in between. So you have to have a hazy IPA. So hazy IPA is one of those things in there. But we try not to limit to just those things. We've also, right now we have a Sati on tap right now, which is a Finnish farmhouse ale brewed differently than it doesn't have any hops in it. It only uses juniper for the bittering agent. And so it's got kind of a tart sourness to it. There's a lot of different styles that we pursue.
Now, every brewer I've ever talked to, they always seem to have almost like a, here's the beer I love to brew. Everything yeah. else I do for my customers, but this beer, this is me. This is my beer. What is that for you?
Well, it depends on what time of the year you ask me that question.
All right. Well, we're coming into summer.
Yeah. So my tastes tend to kind of change with the seasons. So I would say coming into summer, I get excited about a Kolsch or like something along those lines where, the lighter styles, maybe an occasional hazy IPA. They're not my, I'm kind of through, I don't really like those as much anymore.
Sure, sure.
They're just kind of played out in my mind, but I like the Kolsches, I like the Pilsners and that kind of, those kind of beers in the summer.
Authentic beer, right?
And once we get into fall, then it's I like the Oktoberfests or maybe a brown ale or something like that. So they start shifting a little darker. If I had to pick one that I could have year round, it'd probably be an alt beer. It's one of my favorite styles.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Now,
not the seltzer?
Not the seltzer. The seltzer's okay. I'm coming around to the idea. That was, I was not crazy about the idea of seltzers in the beginning, but they're popular.
Yeah,
people like them.
People love them.
So,
yeah, that's a it's now what when it comes to naming your beers, do you get crazy with the names? Well, how do you what's a few samples of what you guys have?
Well, every beer's name has a story.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So everything up there, if not a story, a meaning, it's nothing's an insignificant last minute thought. Well, some of them are last minute, but not insignificant.
Yeah, we have our most popular beer is our Hefeweizen. So we named it El Jefe the Wise.
Okay.
So that's.
But the locals call it the Jeff beer.
Yeah, it's the Jeff beer. So,
oh, they don't say Jefe.
Yeah, the Jefe.
Jefe means boss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have some pretty cool art that goes with it, too. So some of our beers have, like, art designs.
Oh, nice. Are you canning?
We do try to keep cans in stock when we can, when the beer's available.
Okay.
So, we're working, balancing that with the day job and and getting all the work done to do the canning.
I heard you say that you're keeping beer in rotation essentially.
Yep.
So it sounds like you're routinely making new stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have your staples?
Yeah, the staples would be the five that we started
okay.
with. So but they may it may not be those specific ones, but it'll be a similar style.
Got
so
you.
Like we will rotate through the cream ale to a Kolsch or the stout.
The rice ale.
We have a couple of different stouts. We just did a rice ale recently. So
what does that taste through. Like?
It's actually really good. It's light and it's very light color, like pale straw, and but it has like. We don't have lagering capability in our brewery, we use an ale that's a very neutral flavor, but it does give just a little bit of that ale flavor to the beer,
okay,
which I think complements it really well. And then we use – so we kind of did everything that would have been a rice lager, sort of like Sapporo and like Japanese beers.
Yeah.
But the hops that they have has like a really citrusy lemon kind of – flavor.
Interesting.
And so the combination of it, all that together was really nice.
That almost sounds like something that would go really good with that Cuban.
Yeah. Yep.
That nice complimentary citrus.
Right.
That would be great.
Yep.
Now, when it comes to, so you have the five staples, how many total do you have on draft all the time, on tap?
Eight.
Eight altogether.
Yeah.
And so those other three are the rotating ones that
are
the newbies here and there.
Yeah.
Is that typically, do you find, what kind of crowd do you guys have? Because there's the IPA crowd and some other ones, other breweries I've seen just have like your lager lovers.
Yeah.
You know, what tends to be your crowd?
A little of everything, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We get a lot of people who like to have the stouts on tap. And they're just thankful that we have a stout on tap.
Yeah.
We have people who want to try different things. People who like the hazies, they come in. We've got one on tap. So
there's not a lot of food places right where we are. So we get a lot of people who aren't necessarily there because it's a brewery. They're there because it's a place to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And then we convert them into beer drinkers, to craft beer drinkers, because they come in and they don't know what any of it is or what it means. We give them a few tastes, and then they find the one that they usually leave with one that they're like, oh, I do like craft beer.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys doing crowlers or growlers or anything?
We do.
We're filling growlers. We're no longer stocking growlers.
Okay.
So we're kind of phasing that out, hoping to go to crowlers in the future, but not right now.
Yeah. Okay. Just the trying to source them, and it's just become kind of a hassle. And so. But we will fill them. People bring them in, we'll fill them up. So,
nice. Now, I know sometimes people wonder about like the strength of the beers, right? Some breweries tend to go high ABV, flying in the middle. Sounds like you guys are probably a good varietal. Do you have a kick your ass kind of beer?
Well, right now, We have on the high end, so this will show you the range we have. On the high end right now, we have a Russian Imperial Stout at 9.5%, but we also have an English Ordinary, the Fanny Packer, which is a 3.7%. So you can always find something in that range.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, the lower end is those are the ones you can grab a whole bunch and drink through your afternoon.
To be honest, I prefer those myself.
Yeah.
I like the lower ABV stuff.
Only time I like to go a little bit on the higher end is I'm a cigar guy. Yep. So like I love a good – I don't want to be pounding them or drinking a whole bunch.
Sipper.
Yeah, I love that. Having a cigar and just enjoying a sipper.
Yeah.
A nice stout or even a good lager is just like a really nice, dense beer.
Yeah.
Do you do any sort of barrel aging or anything like that?
We have in the past. Right now our – space is limited, so I don't have room for a barrel. I'll have to do some rearranging, and it would be nice to get something back into a barrel, maybe even if we went to a smaller barrel and just very limited edition. But we did the 1 year we did a chocolate cherry stout and aged that in a rum barrel. The inspiration for it was a cordial cherry.
Yeah.
And that was...
It was a banger.
That was really good. So,
I mean, it's funny how sometimes you go to take a drink of a beer and immediately you know, like, that's that cherry in a box.
Right? Yeah.
It's like you know exactly what you just drank.
Yep.
I've had beer that tastes like Krispy Kreme donuts, and it's just like, that's insane.
Yeah.
It's like,
how'd you even do that?
Like a Krispy Kreme stout. And it was like, what?
Yep.
No, actually, I think it was a Krispy Kreme ale. I think that's what they did, a Krispy Kreme ale, because it made the name. But, it's just interesting how you can make these different beers and you know, kind of get on that. Do you do sours at all? I mean, I heard you say Kolsch. Do you do goes or sours?
Typically.
Not on purpose.
No, we haven't done that for a while. We haven't made them just because they sit so long. The people who love sours love sours,
yeah,
but they're few and far between, and they have a tendency to sit for a while. Now that we're looking at canning, and we have some capability to can, that opens up some possibilities. Because what I don't want to have is a beer that just sits forever. Right. I want it to be fresh when you drink it, and so. If I can't do that, I don't want to brew it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I always thought it would be cool if we can get cans of beer that are like mini casks, and then essentially you're bottling or canning them, barreling them, but in a small form, and then it just keeps aging until one day.
Yeah.
That'd be such a cool concept.
I think they do make them.
Do they?
Wouldn't that be a firkin?
Well, firkins are like,
I think they do make them. They're like size of a gallon, or it's the ones that you see in the store, the Heineken, containers.
That's a little. I mean, that's cool, I guess, for a few. But I'm even talking about literally in your hand, mini barrel.
Yeah,
you know, and it just. That's it. Sits in this little mini barrel. It'd be neat if somebody were able to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. I'm sure you can.
Can. So, Five Mountain Brewing, where does the name come from?
Well, everything in Shikshinee. The Shikshinee means the land of the five mountains. And
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's a lot of things in Shikshinee are named Five Mountain. It used to be a while back when the market was there, Five Mountain Market. There's Five Mountain Outfitters in town, Five Mountain Hardware. So
it started as a joke while we were home brewing, and we're like, oh, we're Five Mountain.
Right, why not, right?
We're Five Mountain Brewing Company. It was just a joke in the garage, and then it stopped being a joke.
It was like, we have a logo now.
Yeah.
Is that, now Land of the Five Mountains? Is there officially? Is There are officially five mountains?
Yeah. Yeah. And
do they all have their own respective names?
They do.
Okay.
You're going to ask me to name them, right?
No, not maybe not.
I don't know if I can remember. Let's see.
Maybe there's, not Brent.
There's Keystone.
Okay.
River Mountain.
Newport.
Newport Mountain. There is Rocky Mountain.
I think you made that up.
No, that's real. And I used to have them written down on
what's
paper
the one plate. That runs along the river?
We had them on.
Oh, there. I couldn't tell you which one is which. I mean,
oh, I don't know. If it was the, it was
I mean, I got 4 out of 5. That's like 80%. All right. But
well, we no, should I, be 4 out of 5 mountain brewing.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. 4 more mountains. So
that's it's a cool logo, though. I like that.
Yeah, that was a friend of ours drew that up. So that's how we know how long you've been one of our customers is when we first had our stickers made. They were the hand-drawn
cool.
stickers.
Yeah.
And actually, when I took the picture for to get the stickers printed, I didn't look at the lighting correctly, and so they're sort of purple. And so they're not that white background. They're supposed to be a white background, but the lighting was off, and so they turned out purple. So that's how I know how long you've been one of our customers, if you come in with the purple logo.
You got good-looking merch. I see these hats you guys are wearing. Those are pretty cool.
Yep.
Is that something that's regularly available? People want to buy merch?
Yeah, we have hats and shirts and hoodies.
Well, not this one.
Not that one.
She
has a
VIP.
Special hat.
If you cook the food, you get your own hat.
Yeah. Well, not even that. She gets her. That's the only one.
Literally the only one?
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, wow.
So.
So special.
Yeah. Well, she's the boss.
That's right.
So.
That's right. So there's a little backstory here. Now, you said that you moved to this location. Where were you prior?
We were just up the road, but we were leasing a place.
Okay.
So we purchased this building in town. A lot of the buildings in town were lost to the flood, and so it was pretty common to see them come down. And this one was on the market and sort of had started to get a little run down. And so we purchased it with the goal of kind of saving a building in town, and also gave us a better location. It gave us a home for us. So so we renovated it and kind of made it into what we needed to. We put an Airbnb upstairs.
Oh, that's cool.
So that people that want to come and stay, they can plan out a trip. There's a lot of outdoor stuff to do in Chickshinny. There's, there's the rivers right there.
It's like a small Poconos.
Yeah. We're the next Jim Thorpe. That's what we always say.
Okay.
It's coming.
It's coming. You just got to believe in it. So.
And well, they're talking about like highway expansions and stuff, right? They're like essentially – like they're doing, aren't they? Isn't there like plans in the future with like the way the 29 connects with 11?
Yeah, I know that there's been some discussion about that. I don't know what the timeline looks like on that.
Yeah,
they've been talking about that for like
I think it's been
longer than
long
we've
time.
Lived here.
Yeah, well, I don't know how long, but I know that there was something that was brought up in a conversation like 2 or 3 years ago that I was in, and then they did the expansion on 29 with. Those new circles and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if that looks like the Olympics from up in the sky.
Maybe.
This is a lot of circles. Yeah, I mean, I always heard that it was going to become more of a, I guess it was like to streamline more traffic down through Maconaqua.
Yeah.
And then essentially be able to provide more direct traffic through to Chickshinny, Maconaqua, that whole area.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but.
Yeah. Well, with all of that, trying to sit and kind of renovate the building, we wanted to be in town, and we wanted to have a more central location, and that gave us the expansion of the kitchen and other things too. So that helps.
Yeah. Now, in your last location, were you not serving food, or you were?
No food.
Oh, no food.
It was just beer.
Oh, okay.
So we were brewing. The brewery was in a closet, basically. It was tiny. and you could barely move around in there.
Interesting. So, how long have you been in actively brewing in business?
We opened in 2018, October of 2018. So that was, I started home brewing like a year before that. So it went kind of fast.
Are you an all-in kind of guy?
Yeah, it got out of control. You start home brewing and then you build your equipment and then it gets a little bit bigger and then it was like,
and your whole garage is kegs, and your husband wants a $2,000 system for his hobby.
Yeah. It's just getting out of control.
And you say, well, if you're going to do this, better find a way to pay for it. So,
yeah.
Wow. So that's how my husband's hobby became my full-time job.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad story.
Yeah.
What were you guys doing prior to this?
We're still doing the same things. We just have extra work to do now.
Oh, that's right. You said you still currently do, you have a day job.
Yep.
Okay. What kind of background do you have?
I was in the Navy for 10 and a half years and then went into nuclear power. And so I worked down at the nuclear plant.
Okay.
So I have a lot of overlapping knowledge, I guess. It's all about moving water and making it hot or cooling it off.
What is your particular role?
At the plant?
Yeah.
I was a control room operator for a period of time. I recently gave that up, and now I do training.
Oh, okay.
So,
in the Navy for, what did you say, 10 years?
Ten and a half years.
That's cool. Well, so, were you active?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you travel?
Well, sort of. I was on submarines. And so
classified.
Yeah, I can't tell you. No, just kidding. We would go out and our job.
Just
was
kidding.
To go
we went
out
in the water.
We'd go out and hide. That was our mission. So I was on a Trident missile submarine. So,
wow.
We didn't ever go anywhere except for out into the ocean to hide, and then we'd come home.
How long were you gone? Like, at any given point, what would be the longest time that you were underwater in a sub?
The longest underwater was like 56 days or something like that.
At some point, are you getting like, is that just something you get used to?
Yeah.
You just sort of feel like, okay, I'm.
Yeah. I mean, it never bothered me, but I guess it's probably weird to hear that.
The thought of it is like claustrophobia.
Yeah.
Right?
I never even really considered it.
Wow. Wow.
Just like being in a room like this. So
yeah, I don't know that I would do that for 56 days.
Yeah.
I'd leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I get it. Okay.
But I guess if you're trying to hide,
yeah,
that'd be a different thing, you know, for sure.
Submariners are kind of weird. So we're all like that.
That's cool, though. I mean, it sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
What was the furthest you've traveled?
From Georgia to Washington via the southern tip of South America.
That's neat.
Over to Hawaii and then back up.
Okay.
So
really like East Coast.
All the way down and then all the way back up.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of cool though.
Yeah, that was my first patrol. It was pretty cool.
And in full 10 years, so where would you have been based out of?
Up near Seattle, Bremerton, Washington.
Oh.
Bangor, Washington.
Now, is that when, I don't know how this works, but like when you go into the Navy, do they station you where they want you to be stationed?
Yeah, you don't.
I don't know if you.
You get a little bit of a choice. You can say, this is where I would like to go.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they're going to send you wherever they want.
Okay.
So.
And when you went into the Navy, what was your idea? Like you were going in to do what?
They offered a bonus. That was like the extent of my plan when I was a teenager, and then I went into the nuclear program.
Yeah, you must have scored high on your ASVABs, huh?
Yeah,
decently. Because I guess I remember a buddy of mine went into the nuke. He went to nuke school down in Orlando.
Yeah,
is that where you went?
I went to Charleston, but
okay.
They moved from Orlando up to Charleston.
Okay,
so. It's actually a small enough community that I might actually know the guy.
His name is Dave Watkins.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I said might, so.
Yeah, no. Well, I remember when he went to nuke school and.
But someone you know will send you a message after this airs and like, say, I know that guy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because this was years ago, right? I mean, I'm 44. That puts him at probably 46 or 47.
You should know him.
We might.
46 or 47. I drove out to Waukegan, Illinois, where he graduated his boot camp.
Great Lakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that where you went?
That's where I went.
Yeah. Right above Windy City.
Yep.
I thought that was a cool experience, and because that was neat, like, you know, when we got on base. Yeah. Yep. When we got on base there, I remember it was pretty cool because they were very cadence driven.
Yeah.
Marching everywhere.
Yep.
Do they do that for show, or is that going on all
the
time?
No, that's real.
Pretty routine. You go,
and then when I left there, I went down to Charleston. So I went from this very regimented, rigid environment. They put us on a plane. We flew to Charleston. We checked in, and then we're like, so what do we do now? And they're like, I don't care.
Like, welcome to the Navy.
Go to the mall or something. I don't
just
know.
Show up at school matter. When you need to be there.
Yeah, you have to be here Monday morning at 7. So, like, bye. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So now after that, they kind of got everything in place, and it got to where, like, you have to have a certain badge, and then you could get civilian clothes after a couple of weeks or a month or whatever. So, but I hit a nice sweet spot where they were just like, yeah, you're not really in the Navy, that it's not that bad. So just do whatever you want.
Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy your whole experience in the Navy?
No. But yeah, so there was a time to get out. Like I had been on the sub, and then I went back to shore duty to teach. And so I was at prototype, and it was rotating shift work. And that's where I met my lovely, lovely wife over here. And it was time to go back out to sea or get out of the Navy. And I didn't want to go back out to sea. So that was a pretty easy decision. I don't regret doing it, but I'm glad that I'm not back out to sea. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't sound easy. Yeah.
It's tough on families, and my kids were little, and it was time to just move on.
So you guys met in Washington?
No, in New York.
Oh, in New York.
That's where I was stationed. That's where she's from.
So how long were you in Washington?
3 years, 3.5 years.
Oh, and then 7 out of New York, or did that vary too?
Roughly. I mean, there's some Charleston in there. I moved around. I did some time in Georgia, did some time in Charleston.
Did you have a favorite place?
New York.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just because it was closest. Are you from here?
No, I'm not from here, but the chicks are hot in New York.
This guy. Such a fun answer.
Yeah. No, I'm actually from Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Originally.
What part?
The flat part.
Yeah, well.
East of Denver. I could tell you it's Strasburg, Colorado, but it's like a town of 1,000 people.
East of Denver, you said?
Yeah.
About how far away?
About 30 minutes.
Oh, that's so practically Denver.
Yeah, practically Denver.
Yeah.
Well, except for the tumbleweeds.
Yeah. Yeah, I've taken her out to see where I grew up, and she's just like, I don't like it here. Let's get out of here.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you come from a background, like a big family, or?
Yeah, I had a family of 6, and we lived in a trailer. So it was we were pretty close.
Wait. Oh, it's all coming together now. The sub made you feel like home.
Yeah. Yep.
And were you in a trailer for 56 days or?
Yeah.
They let him out.
Every once in a while.
I wasn't a bad kid, so I never got grounded to the trailer. So.
How old were you? Like, at what point did you leave Colorado?
I was 18.
Oh, so you grew up there?
Yeah. From like first grade on. until I graduated high school.
That's cool. What did your parents do?
Soon as he left, they moved.
Yeah, they left. And I left for the Navy. So I turned 18, and then like 20 days later, I was on a plane to the Navy, and then they moved. I eventually found out where they moved to, but...
What did, were your parents from Colorado?
No. My stepdad, my dad is from Nebraska, and my mom is from Illinois. That's where I was born.
Okay.
So,
born in Illinois, grew up in Colorado.
Yeah.
Joined the Navy.
Saw some of the world.
Some of it.
On my own dime.
Yeah.
The rest of the Navy showed me what it's like underwater. That's about it.
All right.
I got to go to Hawaii, and I went to Alaska once, so that was pretty cool.
Well, Alaska is cool.
Yeah.
Typically.
Yeah. It was actually really cool, too.
Yeah.
Not just cold.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you know, if you like Alaska, my wife loves Alaska. She's been wanting to go on an Alaskan cruise forever.
Yeah, it's surreal out there.
Is it the scenery or what is it for you?
The scenery is sublime, might be the word. There's parts of it when you see the overcast of the fog, and you can't tell where the sky ends and the water begins, and it's just, there's bald eagles everywhere. It's crazy.
I mean, it's neat because you grew up in Colorado, very sort of mountainous and, right? I mean, like, or where flat. You said where you were flat, right?
It's like the Great Plains.
So you even where you're at, you're not seeing, like, the mountains?
You could see them. Like, okay. I knew where west was. So.
Oh, there you go.
It made it pretty easy.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
Well, that way you don't get lost.
But it's also, like, open, like, miles and miles open.
Okay.
Really, really open.
Well, it's funny because right when you if you're from here, like this area anyway, you feel almost hugged.
Yeah,
you know, and then I know that I've spent some time in Florida, and while you're there, it's like, whew, it just feels like in some instances it feels like there's nothing there. It's like you just keep going, and
someone's just watching you from really far away.
right, or sort of like a sniper can get you from like,
oh my god, don't
what.
See, that's I'm what not
she
crazy.
Said. She said that.
Well,
that was the first like thing. We're driving down the road, and I was like, man, I feel like a sniper could just shoot me from
5 miles away. Yeah.
Not like here, where he could shoot you from like 100 yards away.
Well, at least I have a better chance of knowing where he's at.
Behind a tree, though. I mean, like, he could be a terrible shot and still get you here.
But if we're in a group, right? If we're in a group... At the very best, he's going to get one shot off, and we're all going to know which direction it came from.
Yeah,
and then where is he going to go?
Yeah, but if you're 5 miles away, you've got to be a pretty impressive shot.
They make powerful guns, right? Yeah. I mean, you're in the Navy. I mean,
but not very many people can make that shot.
This is true. So that would be how we would find them, because it would have to be a qualified shooter.
Yeah, you guys are insane. You're both insane.
I mean, it's just a thought.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it is very open. And actually, yeah. I felt when we went, when I moved to South Carolina in the Navy, like I felt like you said, kind of like
hugged
in.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to the sky being like not just 180 degrees from horizon to horizon, but like we're elevated, like it went beyond 180 degrees.
Yeah,
and then you go to South Carolina or here or whatever, and like the trees are up past you, and you've got like a little window of time where you can see the sun.
An acute view.
Yeah, a very acute.
Yeah, it's very acute.
So, yep.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just so. It's all about like how you were raised and where you came from. I think a lot of that has to do with how you feel. I mean, I grew up in the Northeast, so being around mountains my whole life, essentially, even though I'm not a mountain man, but I mean, I'm just, it feels different when you go somewhere else that doesn't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, going to Vegas, right? The only reason I felt good was because the buildings were around me. It's a weird thing, but then when you get outside of that, you're like, look at how much open land there is.
Yeah.
it's just a weird feeling. It's like you're going to fall off something. I don't know how to explain that.
Yep.
It's almost like a height. Like it's a horizontal height.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. I don't know how to explain that, but yeah, it's different. Well, now, Melissa, where are you from?
I'm from upstate New York.
Okay. Binghamton or?
Albany area.
Albany. Okay. Albany. Yeah, that's out there. I know we're working with somebody right now who's opening up a business in Westkill. And man, is that in the middle of nowhere? It's about an hour, 50 minutes from Albany. We just did a job fair in Albany to try to recruit people there, but
yeah,
it's out there. It's a snowland there.
Yeah, it's cold winters, snowy.
Now you grew up there up until what age?
Until after I graduated high school. I went to college outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. What did you go to school for?
Psychology.
All right.
Which is how, after college, I ended up working in corporate facility management.
Interesting. Psychology to corporate facility management. That's a good use of psychology.
Now I run a bar. Which is probably a better fit for the psychology.
I would think so, right? I mean,
now I'm using my degree.
Yeah, and you're coming up with philosophical debates.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
He really can get everything in Chickshang.
I love it. So you guys meet in New York?
Yeah.
What's the backstory? How did you guys meet?
We met on MySpace.
No.
Seriously. Yep. She.
I moved back from the Philadelphia area back to where I grew up, and I figured I have to know people still. Not everybody moved away. So I took to that newfangled thing called MySpace, and he kind of looks similar and has a similar name to a guy I used to know in high school. So I added him as a friend, and he was really rude about it, and I was hooked.
I wasn't trying to be rude, but I sent her a message back and said, "Who are you and why do you want to be my friend?"
I was pretty offended. I was like, because I'm really awesome, and of course you want to be my friend.
Yep.
And then
we got married 9 months later.
Yeah.
What was it? I always ask, what was the first date?
Coffee.
Yep.
And how long did that date go for? Like
hours.
A couple hours.
Yeah. And what does that look like? What does the conversation look like between the two of you after you said, "Who are you?" or what?
Well, so in my defense, I had two messages in my inbox. One was an obvious porn attempt to clickbait. And then the other one was...
You clicked on that, of course.
I deleted it. But then the other one...
Your halo just
was a little
twinkled.
Like, it was like local, and she was wearing a turtleneck in the picture. And I was like, that's probably
holding
not...
Holding my toddler.
That's probably not great for porn. So...
Depends on what you're into.
I guess, there's
Steve Jobs porn will get you.
Yeah. So I clicked on it, and I was like, I hope she's real. That would be cool. But so I sent a message, and it wasn't intended to be like a, "Who are you? Why do you want to be my friend?" It was like, "Hello, who are you? You know, are you real?"
Yeah.
Was my thought. And didn't come up. I got to be honest, I don't have a lot of game. So so I'm just lucky that we're sitting here today. So, yeah.
That's cool. So coffee, and then what'd you say? How many months later you got married?
9.
9 months later you got married.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then how long did you guys, you stay in New York, I'm assuming, until then you were done in the Navy?
Yeah, so I finished up my contract, and then we moved to Oswego, New York.
Talk about snow.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's the belt right there, right?
Yeah. Albany doesn't really even have that much snow compared to Oswego.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that upstate New York bit, but that belt, I guess, kind of goes right underneath Albany, right?
Well, it's the lake effect from Lake Ontario, really, that just pounds that area.
Our house was like, I don't know, half a mile, maybe.
Yeah, so you're like you're getting feet of snow.
Oh yeah, snowstorms were measured in feet. Like they don't even talk about like.
Well, unless we were going to get decorative flurries.
Yeah, there's decorative flurries is what they would call it, which could be from 0 to 6 inches of snow. So
that's nice. I always said when I was a kid, I was like, man, I feel bad for the kids up there. They don't get snow days. It's like the buses just chain up and they're like, no, we're going.
Actually, when we moved here, the kids were standing out out in front, and it was a good thing they called us because they would have stood out there. I mean, there was like a half
an inch of snow. We
didn't
get a single snowstorm the first two winters we were here that would have even made me consider, oh, I should check if there's school or not.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing they just, like, text you, because my poor kids would have been standing out there like, I don't think the bus is coming, Mom. And I'd be like, just wait. You're just running late.
They got a snowflake on the tire.
Yeah.
Closed.
Closed.
Now, that's changed, I think, right? Because since these schools figured out during the pandemic that they can go virtual with stuff, they have the ability to do that at last minute, no?
Yeah, I don't know. So. My kids are in college now, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were at the tail end of that, of high school when COVID hit. So,
what brings you from? Was it because of the job in Berwick?
The job, yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so we lived there for probably 3 years in Oswego, and then this.
I told
job
him
came
I wanted
up.
To move south.
Yeah,
I meant like Georgia.
So we made it.
He's got a terrible aim.
Yeah,
terrible aim.
Just, it is south. He did meet the requirement.
Yep. That's right. I would
like a lawn dart throw.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we ended up here and just kind of got to, working for a while, and then got into brewing. And everybody who has ever brewed a batch of beer has probably had the conversation of, whoa, we could just do this for the, you know, a job. That would be so cool. And then
you do
stopped.
Make it a job, but it doesn't pay you the bills, so you still have your job.
Yeah.
And then you just also do this job.
I mean, it's got to be tough to because I've been through opening businesses. I mean, it's your heart's pumping, you're stressed out, you're like excited on one end, on the other end you're like, Am I going to look stupid? Yeah. Like, is this thing going to go upside down? Am I going to look dumb for trying this because if it fails?
Yeah.
There's all these things.
Well, we always. And,
well, I hadn't really thought about that, but thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, there's always the peaks and valleys, right? Any small business owner knows what that feels like. There's the days where you're just like, this is it. We can do this. We're killing it. It's great. And everything's firing on all cylinders. And then, then there's the other days where it's just slow and not a lot going on.
Sure.
And your pump breaks and, the panel shorts out and you burn out a relay. And it's like, oh, why do we even do this? So, but we live for those days where you argue over horses and ducks. So.
Well, absolutely.
I'm not really joking. Like, that's the things that drive you is the funny conversations, or you see like people come in and they meet their new best friend. Like, that's always one of the things we kind of pride ourselves on, is that there aren't a lot of strangers there. They're just friends you haven't met yet.
I like the idea, and it seems like you guys have this sort of tone about you, is that like, this is something that you're wanting to do because it's a quality of life thing. It's like you enjoy the idea of being able to go to work, but enjoy the environment that you're in. And it's not like you're looking to turn this into an empire with, 20 breweries all over the place or whatever. It's like, we just want to live our lives, enjoy what we're doing, make good quality beer and kind of be there. Is that, am I on?
Yeah. We didn't have a brewery in Shikshini. We like to hang out at breweries, so we made one.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. Solving your own problems.
That's right.
Now, how has, collectively, how has the community, other, because you said a lot of people will come out and use it as a place to go out to dinner. Do you find that you're getting tourism at all, because people love to come check out new breweries?
Yeah, we get tourism.
In the summer especially, Ricketts Glen is a huge draw. Mm. So people are up, and the Airbnb helps too. The Airbnb stays full all summer with people who are coming up to check out the brewery and then also some other things. Hikers, bikers, kayakers, we get them all.
Yep.
Summer we see a lot of other people, a lot of out-of-towners, day trippers from Philadelphia, New York. Oddly, the Airbnb is usually Baltimore.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people from here kind of get used to living in
they take it for granted.
And so you, I think that's the same everywhere you go. Like you get used to your environment. And so you're like, well, why would anybody want to come to this small town? It's like, well, take a look, a new fresh look around and look at the mountains around us. Look at the river that runs, you know, down next to the town. Look at all the trails, the biking trails, the different things. I mean,
yeah, I
take a lot of things.
We told people we were going to put an Airbnb because the building we bought was a duplex. So I said, yeah, we're going to turn the upstairs into an Airbnb. And people laughed out loud in my face. Like, who would want to come visit Schick-Schinney? Who needs a hotel room in Schick-Schinney?
Well, I think your brewery definitively gives you a reason. And then all those other things.
Yeah. But yeah, it stays full year round. So
apparently. Year round or summer round?
Always summer. Winter does okay. Winter's more of a weekend getaway.
Yeah.
Summer's like the whole week.
Or like Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Visiting family.
Yeah.
Holiday season.
Is there any activity, you know, it sounds like you guys have taken some initiative to pump a little life into Schick-Schinney. Is there any sort of community involvement in that? Like any, you know, sort of Schick-Schinney committee, as if you will, and trying to...
We try to support things that other people are doing in the town. We had Schick-Schinney hosted a carnival for the first time in 10 years this past summer, and we sponsored a stage and brought in some bands.
That's cool.
We have the local trail, the Warrior Trail. They do races and 5Ks.
So we sponsor a lot of local things, or we open early on the days when they have their races, so they have a place to go after they're done.
Yeah, we've partnered with
Little League took over our kitchen for a day last summer. We let them come in and fundraise.
They made the food, and all of the money from the kitchen went to them.
Nice.
We've done things with the Five Mountain Outfitters. He did like a float.
The full moon float.
Yeah, full moon float. So,
what's that?
It's
a night kayak.
Nighttime kayaking.
Oh, seems safe.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you add in the beer and.
That's a full moon.
Oh, that's that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The beer's at the end. So that's how you keep people on track. Like.
So when you hear people going down the river howling, we'll just assume that they're just doing it at the moon.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Not that they're in danger.
Yeah.
Something like that.
No, I always, you know, do people do that down the Susquehanna? I don't know. Like maybe kayak maybe, but do people still swim in there?
No, like, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, you know, those.
Not
you know,
smart.
Not for
people.
Long.
Not smart people.
Yeah.
But you know, because, like, sometimes when you travel, like, you'll see the what do they call them? Lazy river rafting or something like that.
No,
or
tubing.
You just get a whole big group of people and they get on the tubes and 3 miles later they get picked up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they. I haven't ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that. I don't know.
Too much current, maybe.
That's I would think.
I wouldn't do it.
But. No, I don't think so. Oh, it was worth the ask.
Crazier people, though. Not like to the level of thinking that you're going to get shot in eastern Colorado by snipers.
5 miles away.
Yeah, 5 miles away.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, so, and I guess more particularly what I was asking about was downtown, like in the Schick-Schinney area. When we say downtown, it's that one intersection, really. But is there – what other kind of things are going on in Schick-Schinney? Have you seen – you know, sometimes a business like you pops up, right? You've been around for a little bit here. So you pop up and then that instigates other people to start doing things. Has there been any sort of change, you think, or no? Not really. Not yet.
Not yet. We're still holding on for that.
Attitudes are changing.
Yeah.
And that's the first step.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
so like the carnival, that was a big change.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak out of turn because I know that details are in the air, but I think they're working on a farmer's market.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so having those kind of things, that's relatively new in the last year. So having that kind of the wheels are turning and things are happening.
It's nice to see, like, little towns, because then it becomes a destination.
Right.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's a neat thought, but there's a lot of work that goes into making something like that happen, you know. Right. And
what we really need is a ghost tour, so if you know anyone – because I feel like you've made
Wyoming Valley Ghost Tour.
Yeah. Well, no. I feel like you've made it as a vacation destination when you have a ghost tour in your town.
Yeah, have them call us.
So yeah, we need a ghost tour in Shikshini. And I mean, there's lots of like mine show. Like there's got to be ghost stories. It's an old town.
They're the ones to go to. Yeah. Wyoming Valley Ghost Tours. They're like they do all these events. It would be kind of cool if you hosted something at your place with them because yeah. they do have their own following and they'd probably be
and we
happy.
Have a ghost. So.
Yeah,
but that, I mean, this makes it all the better.
Yeah,
they'll do the research and all that. And, you know, they'll build a whole dialogue to what their thing would be. It'd be neat if you did that.
Yeah,
it's a cool draw. People come from afar for that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, have them. We're missing an old camera that we found when we were renovating the building. Our friend Kevin swears that he found this camera, and then he went back and it was gone. So I'm just assuming that it was a ghost, you know, and that he didn't misplace it.
Yeah,
or take it. I'm just kidding. Kevin wouldn't have taken it.
So if there's random flashes. Just taking places.
Yeah.
It's not lightning, folks.
No, this is like one of those old-timey, like, put your head under the hood.
Oh, the actual spark flash.
Like a tray of magnesium.
Nice. So, nice. Yeah. That went missing?
Yeah, I don't know where it is. He swears he found one.
He said it was in the closet.
He said it was in the closet, and he went back, and it was gone. So the only possible explanation is that it was a ghost.
Or eBay.
Kevin wouldn't have done that. He'd have at least split it with us. So
that's something you found when you bought the property?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. We found some pretty cool artifacts there. We have like an old newspaper that was up in the garage, and it was the New York Times front page of when of the landing on the moon. So
I'm so curious. So this is crazy because, well, we were – my wife and I were remodeling our home. We have a home in 40 for it. So when we took some of the walls down, we found newspaper that was stuffed in there from when the Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's like, but why did you take the, like, you're saying.
Well, this one, the previous owner had clearly preserved it. Like,
yeah. Oh, it wasn't just.
Yeah, that wasn't, you know, cat litter or anything.
Okay, yeah. This was shoved in my wall, like insulation between the, like the old nostalgic way of putting insulation between walls.
Yep.
And we found it. I'm like, this is like actually valuable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's valuable, but I'm saying like, what a.
I guess at the time.
Yeah.
Didn't seem that big a deal.
Ah, Berlin Wall came down. Shove that in the wall. Let's insulate a wall with that one.
Do you want to keep this? Nah.
Nah.
Throw in the wall.
Yeah, that's funny. So events. You guys have the new location. You're doing live music. You said comedy. I'm curious, how does comedy do for you guys? Because I imagine that, you know, that's a unique thing. That either, I was in the business of nightclub business at one point, and it's either hit or miss.
Oh,
we sell out every month.
That's awesome.
Except for one month. There was one month that we didn't, and we were foolish in the scheduling. We scheduled it for the night before hunting season. Didn't dawn on us the day. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, we'll book that day, whatever. We're good. And then the next day was first day of rifle.
I can't go to comedy. I got to go shoot things at 4 a.m.
So that was like,
I didn't realize it was that big of a schedule conflict.
I didn't even think about it. Didn't think of the day and where it fell. So next year we learned our lesson.
But yeah, the comedians sell tickets. They keep all the money. And there's always a link every month on our Facebook page for the event. It's a QR code or a link. Buy your tickets. You will be turned away at the door. We have a finite amount of space. We do sell out every month. And
that's
every
great.
Month, someone's really mad that they can't get in. So.
Wow.
But the nice thing is so like all that money goes to the comedians. They, you know, so you're really supporting the comedians by supporting the comedy shows. And it's a good deal for them. A lot of times they work for, you know, very little very tips. And so this is kind of their chance to get something out of it.
That's cool that you do that because you're right. A lot of places will take right off the top and give them a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way we look at it, we're there to sell beer and food, And so if they can pull me a crowd, then great. Cool.
Yeah. Nice. Is there an ideal, like, does your ticket's prices range or?
$10.
It's always $10. Oh, cool. And how long of a evening?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. Oh, so that's a deal.
Yeah. It's a good show.
That's the way we feel about it.
Yeah. So. What time does the show usually start?
7:30?
Yeah, typically about 7:30.
Yeah, 7:30, I think.
Now, is it a different group of comedians?
Yep.
We have one host who is the organizer.
The MC.
Of this group. And so he's always, it's the same host every month, but he brings me two new comics. We haven't had any duplicates yet, so.
Yep. Now, do they refer to it as like open mic for some comedians, or are they all experienced comedians?
They're all experienced comedians.
Yeah.
We've debated doing an open mic night, but I don't want to not do our normal comedy, and I don't want to saturate, like, oh, it's comedy all the time. You know,
right.
I think it works, and it's sold out because it's once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If it works, don't, right? What do they say?
Don't fix it if it's not broke.
There you go. Yeah. And keeping things in like limited form.
Yeah.
To your, even with beers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you make something in limited edition, and it's like, phew,
yeah,
gone.
That's right.
If they think it's in constant rotation, they're like, nah, I can get it next week.
That's right.
Yeah. What's the any kind of cool things coming up for the summer outside of comedy? What do you got going on?
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of ska, and so we have ska bands that come in. Probably it'll be every second Saturday of the month through the summer. We're working on some details with May, trying to figure out if that's where we're going to start or if we just go in June. But we have some great bands lined up.
Do we have many ska bands around here?
Actually, so these bands are coming from out of town. There's, they're, you know, coming from Connecticut, New York City.
Wow. That's cool. You're doing that.
Philly. So they're, we work with Media 3 Entertainment, Rob Alpick is the guy, but he books a lot of the local shows. And so some of those bands actually are playing the 22nd at the River Street Jazz Cafe, but they'll be back here as kind of the headliner. They're the openers in that show, but they'll
22nd of March.
Yeah.
They'll be playing that. So if anybody wants to look at a teaser.
Yeah, if you want to see what it's like to see a ska show, go check him out. And then if you like the opening bands, they're going to be down in Shikshini playing in our backyard, kind of.
Skoshini.
Yeah, we're changing the name. We're going to, for those days, we're going to take over the town. It'll be Skoshini.
Okay.
So.
Great.
But there's actually a decent following of ska shows or in the area, and it's impossible to be upset listening to ska music. It's just fun.
Upbeat. It's like jam bandish, right?
I'm trying to remember
what ska, like I'm trying to.
Real Big Fish?
Horns.
Horns,
trumpets, you know, punk, kind of punk music.
Yeah, so, I gotcha.
Or, and there's like a variation of styles, but.
So is it kind of like more, and I don't know if they're, I don't think that they're ska, but like I love OAR.
Nope.
Like OAR has a lot of the no.
I mean,
no, I don't
not
think that
really.
They're ska, but no. I think they're like different. Like a
they're like a, so like
it's I know it's a very
like
unique.
A it, like a reggae kind of beat to it that upbeat.
Yeah. Real Big Fish, music. Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Is Mo? Would Mo fall under that category? No. Remember Mo? They used to tour with Fish.
No, that's jam band.
Yeah, I'm striking out here. I'm going to need to go to that show, I guess.
I think what you need is a lesson in ska. You've got to come down and check out Ska Shinny.
I do. I think so. That's going to happen. I guess so.
Yeah.
So when are you doing that?
So like I said, it'll be the second Saturday of every month. You can plan it.
Different band each time?
Different bands coming through.
Okay.
We have Fenzix, Sergeant Scagnetti, I think is one. We haven't quite finished announcing all the stuff, but some of the bands that are going to be coming in, they're great. They're a lot of fun. So
nice.
And we'll have other music and bands in the summer. We haven't scheduled a lot yet, but it's getting to be that time of year.
Yeah.
Now, as for your food, it changes over because it's seasonal, so you'll have some of the Caribbean stuff. Do you do any like outdoor cooking or anything like that? Is there grills, barbecue, like that kind of stuff?
Not grills and barbecue, but coming soon back to the menu is our smoked pulled pork, barbecue pork, which we serve on macaroni and cheese, which is one of our best dishes in the summertime.
Well, that will do.
Every once in a while, we'll do brisket.
Throw a brisket in there and put that on your mac and cheese. We'll put anything on mac and cheese. We put chicken bacon ranch on mac and cheese.
Yeah.
For healthy people, we put broccoli on their mac and cheese.
Yeah.
We've got a whole section of the menu that is just mac and cheese
and whatever
with things you can put on top of
it. I like how you go for healthy people, we'll put the broccoli on the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So that you could eat not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, if there's mac and cheese, just go all in and
That's
eat the
right.
mac and cheese.
And it's pretty good. So.
What is it? Emeril Lagasse used to say you could put that on a bumper and it'd be delicious.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much.
That's good. And then as for, like you said, you do have cornhole. Like, do you guys ever do like any kind of like events like that, like cornhole tournaments or anything?
We don't really have the space for a whole tournament.
Yeah. Gotcha.
We tried a league.
Well,
it's hard to get people to commit to something every week.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean,
so yeah,
but people come and play with it all summer.
That's right. That's what we set it up so that people can
mess
around with it and have a good time.
That's cool. So it sounds like you'll have your fire pit going. What time do you guys stay open till as it gets into the summer months?
10 o'clock is always our published closing time on the weekends. We'll stay open till midnight, which is our legal required closing time, if the crowd is there. But
that's interesting. Midnight? What did the 2 o'clock rule go out the window?
Different license.
Oh,
different
because
license.
They're a brewery.
It's a brewery.
Do you guys serve liquor as well?
We do. We have a cocktail menu. We carry alcohol from Lang Beverage Company in Nanticoke, and we also carry some things from Resurgence. I think they're down by Harrisburg.
I think they're more towards Philly or Allentown. That's down that direction.
I don't know. Down somewhere.
Okay.
They make really good jalapeno gin. We drink it.
Oh, spicy.
And whiskey. So we make a pretty good variety of drinks, and then we also carry some local wine.
Cool. Who's wine?
Sutterfields.
Okay.
Because in case you didn't know, Shikshini has a brewery and a winery.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you guys do you get into carrying like ciders at all?
No. I don't. We don't have the tap space for it. And we're trying to work on the seltzer and keeping the taps full in that regard.
Now you said seltzer. Are you making your own seltzers?
Yeah.
That's nice. Well, what kind of flavors?
What did I just order? I got some strawberry, wild berry kind of mix. I've got
last summer we did lavender.
Hawaiian Pog. Yeah, we've got a couple of different styles. So
we'll take a big batch and split it into a bunch of different flavors. So it's like, it's almost your weekly flavor, all throughout the summer, every time you come. So the seltzers rotate real fast in the summer.
Wow. Yeah, it's like soda.
There's lots of new flavors always coming out.
Do you mix your seltzers at all to make cocktails?
No.
No.
It's just the way we have it set up, it's just the
seltzer.
So.
Nice.
Yeah, we flavor in the keg. So we'll go through a keg of strawberry, and then maybe the next one will be pomegranate or whatever.
No, but I guess what I meant was, so are you just serving straight up, or do you ever like take whatever you have on barrel and make cocktails with it?
No, not usually. I mean, I guess we could. I'm not
a
huge
sometimes
fan
I've seen
of
that.
Amping up people's drink strength.
Yeah, we're going to keep them cool,
keep
them chill.
That's right.
We are right up the street for the state police, I try not to crank out drunk people out the front door.
Yeah, we want to be responsible. So,
well, that's good. Wholesome people.
That's right. Just ask me.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. You said you didn't think we were going to be able to talk for over an hour, and we did.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Almost an hour and 30 minutes almost. How do you feel about that?
Now you can edit.
Yeah, what day is
now
this?
You can edit the dumb things out.
It's like being on a submarine again.
Thursday, 56 days later, 3 hours later. No, but it's been fun. I really enjoyed your company here and a good conversation. I know that was there anything that we didn't cover though? Like anything else you wanted to say?
No,
I don't think so.
Do you guys have are you just working it? Do you guys have staff that works your place?
We make our daughter work there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
She likes it.
We have a small staff that we work with, so
a couple part-time bartenders.
Couple part-time employees. Cool. So it's been good. We've been able to kind of provide a little bit of jobs here and there. So
it's nice when you can do that. That's it feels good. In regards to the upcoming months, as you have events and you're doing things, are you active social media and all that?
Facebook is definitely the best place to stay up to date. I have a website. I do my best.
Yeah.
I'm not always on. It takes a lot more effort to update a website than Facebook. So Facebook is definitely going to be the most current. But like I make sure at least like the hours and things are right.
Sure.
On the website. But it might not always be the best place to find out what's happening this weekend.
Did you get on TikTok yet?
You know, I told my daughter and her friend that I would pay them to make brewery TikToks.
Yeah.
But they've so far been a big dud. They haven't They haven't produced anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Some of my family right across the river from you, are you familiar with the R Bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my cousins and my uncle own that. And go to their TikTok page. That would give you a bunch of ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Not that you're going to copy, but they're super active on TikTok, and I'm very proud of them because they're actually building up quite a following, and it'll give you some fun ideas. They do stupid shit behind the scenes. Like they have like – the other day they did a funny reel where it was things that restaurant employees think about saying to their customers but never will. And then it was just this whole run of like all the different people – in the different positions, and they all had funny things to say, but that actually grabs attention.
Yeah.
So it's just something to throw out there because I love to see. I get a kick out of when I'm like looking at breweries and things that I'm interested in, and then you get to see a little bit of behind the scenes and that humanization. I love that because it's like these are cool people. I want to go there.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, listen, guys, it's been a lot of fun and. And I know before we head out of here, we had talked about doing a giveaway to really help spread the word here and more people get them encouraged to share our episode. So we're going to do a $50 giveaway, two $25 gift cards.
Yeah.
So super cool. And for our new listeners, the way that always works is you have to make sure you're on the Getting to Know the 570 page. You have to like, share, and comment. And you comment a keyword from today's episode, and it's just something that is off the wall, random, that has to do with this episode.
Maybe someone can give you the five mountains of Shikshini, since we came up short.
Number five.
Well, we're asking people to do a lot because then they're going to have to go research.
I have a pretty good one though.
Love it.
Shikshini.
Scott Shinney. Yeah. There you go. So there's the key word, right? What did you have, Rob, by the way?
I had Scott Shinney.
Oh, great minds. We're going to
make it famous.
Yeah. Rob, I'll bet you never thought about a 5 mile sniper.
Nope, never had to worry about that one in the city of Boston.
So Scott Shinney, that will be our key word. So you have to like, share, comment the word Scott Shinney. I always say this, if you don't know what that means, then you didn't listen and you just fast-forwarded. Shame on you. Go back and listen. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff going on at Five Mountain Brewing. And, is there anything else you guys wanted to say?
Shout out to my assistant brewer, Alex. He's learned how to brew and he's come a long way. So just wanted to say that.
Cool. Quick question. Now, I'm going to ask you this because I've been staring at you for the past hour or so, both of you. But how many people have told you that you just got it? If I'm going to say the name, I know for sure that somebody else has had to ask you this.
Tom Segura.
Oh my God! Thank God! I didn't even have to say it.
It's
doesn't
it's
he
actually,
have a Tom Segura like?
Yes.
It's like a recent thing. I
good
don't even know
God, what. Man! Like I'm like it's the nose and eyes and the just the cheek. Like
yeah,
we could just isolate that and I'd be like, that's Tom Segura.
Yeah, I don't know how like when it happened, but at some point, like maybe his beard got gray. I don't know.
But yeah, but like, you really have like is if I would say like it would be hard pressed to say you're not related.
Yeah.
If you guys were in the same room, I'd be like, are you guys? Because you have like that same kind of eye shape. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know when it happened, but at some point we like merged because it was never really a thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, you look.
Yeah, so, that's funny. Well, yeah. I had to ask before we jumped off because. In case any of our listeners meet you for the first time and be like, I can't believe I didn't say that.
Yeah, maybe I'll just like start hiding. And now it's going to be like, come see the guy that looks sort of like Tom Segura.
Or we could just.
If you ordered him from Wish or something. Like,
well, I mean, just advertise special appearance by Tom Segura. Yeah. Literally sit yourself at a table and just have some of your friends stand in front of it looking like they're eager to get your autograph.
Yeah.
And next like, thing you know, people are
poking your head around, trying to see around. And,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, it could be fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you again for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Before we jump off, tell everybody where they could find you, like everywhere.
Well, you can find us on Facebook, Five Mountain Brewing Company. You can find us on Instagram. Maybe we'll work on getting that TikTok going. And then Five Mountain
Beer.com.
FiveMountainBeer.com.
FiveMountainBeer.com.
Okay, cool. So, and Facebook, you said, is the best place for them to see like your regular events and all that stuff.
Yeah, you're going to find that that'll be the easiest place to get in touch with us or just look and see what the menus look like, what beers are on tap, what events are coming up. So,
are you doing any outside events, they do these like little beer and wine festivals all around? Like, do you ever do any of those?
We do. I don't think we have anything planned at the moment. Okay. But you can probably find us somewhere.
Yeah, and again, you'll probably see it on Facebook if so.
Yeah, we'll post where we're going and
cool.
You can try our stuff there.
All right. So. Well, Brent, Melissa, it's been great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
again.
You.
To all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, the key word here is Ska Shinny, and you'll enter to win. Now, just for the record, we do not handle any gift cards here. You will have to go directly to Five Mountain Brewing, and that is where you will collect your prize. We will make the announcement about 2 to 3 weeks after we air this episode, and then we'll do a randomized draw on Facebook. We will forward your information, and then you guys will connect, and you'll go to the brewery. I guess like we always say, like, share, comment, subscribe, do whatever you want to do. Most importantly, just keep tuning in because that's why we keep doing this. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening and supporting the 570.
If you like this episode,
please leave a review and make sure to check out all the past episodes.
If you or someone you know is interested in being a guest,
message us on Facebook or email podcast@conversionworks.com.